Here I plan to discuss the meaning of the Hebrew word zur, which is often translated as strange or stranger, and the true meaning of the word human, and once again the meaning of the word Adam, which expands on my recent offering in my Genesis commentary in several ways. So I want to get that into one short podcast, I really do. And also the fact that the Greek word arsenokoites, which was used by Paul in two of his epistles, is sodomy, or what we now call homosexuality, and it is forbidden in the New Testament just as it had been in the Old Testament. And I think that I had explained in my last topical discussion program, which was only in October, that doing these, I hope to get short topical podcasts that are easy to put into video format or that can go as filler on our radio streams to break up the monotony of those streams and to present just brief topics that are important to identity Christians and should be important to Christianity in general to get them into 15 to 30 minute podcasts so that they're a lot more consumable and so that people can hear a subject, hear us on a topic without having to listen to hours and hours of tedious commentary. I'm sure it's tedious for a lot of people, at least. So, for some reason, in our most recent Wednesday night Bible study, the following topic came up, and I had written on it already in brief. So yesterday morning, I thought to expand what I wrote and also voice displeasure with the mainstream Hebrew lexicons, because if they were accurate, I would never have to write things like this. So not only should this exhibit the true meaning of one Hebrew word for stranger, there's five or six Hebrew words that are translated. They're all translated as stranger in the King James Version, and that very much is a hindrance to us also, because they don't all mean the same thing. So this should also expose some of the problems and challenges with the mainstream Hebrew languages resources. Or I should say Hebrew language resources, perhaps. To give my listeners some insight into the scope of my efforts to explain these things, although I already had a couple of paragraphs as a head start, the following few pages took about 12 hours to research, outline, and write. And in the end, I can only hope that it's understood. I can only hope that I present it properly so that people can understand it. The other topics we shall present here took another 6 hours, perhaps, today. On top of that, I just want to give y'all some insight into what goes into some of these. That there's probably 18 hours in this program, in this podcast, which is typical of one of my podcasts, or of any of them. Sometimes they take much longer. So, I'm not complaining at all. It's what I have to do. It's all I have to do, too. It's what I have to do, and it's all I have to do. So, stranger in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word zur. And Strong's transliterates that as Z-U-W-R. It's only three. Actually, as we'll see, it's only two Hebrew letters. It should just be Z-R and be transliterated as Zer. Z-E-R, period. That's it. Just like the word for stranger, ger, is only two Hebrew letters, G-R, and it's ger or ger, that's it. So this is zur, but Strong's, he spells it as Zion Vav Resh, or Z-W-R, and transliterates it that way also. And that's the way they all do it. Brown Driver Briggs, Jesenius. And I'm going to get into that because I think things like that cause us damage, right? Here and in interpreting Hebrew. And I'm going to exhibit that, I hope, this evening in reference to this word that because it's spelled with that vav in the lexicon, but it's not spelled with the vav everywhere it's used in scripture. It's only Z-R. So that's, to me, dishonest, and it also pulled it away from the root meaning of the word so that they could make up stories about it, I guess. That's the way I think. So we're going to get into that now, and right now this is off the cuff, so I should probably stop and get into my prepared presentation. So here I'm going to expand on a subject which I discussed earlier. In part 18 of our presentation with Truthvids, 100 Proofs that the Israelites Were White. There I had briefly discussed the various Hebrew words which are usually translated as stranger, as there are several of them, and they all have different shades of meaning. Perhaps in the course of these topical presentations, I could eventually go through each of them in detail. But for now, we will focus on only one of them. Zor. And listed under, my notes could use some different kind of editing. Because I said on only one of them and spelled it in Hebrew letters, Zion, Vav, Resh, which Strong's had transliterated as Zor, and listed under number 2114 in his original concordance. Here I'm going to be critical of Strong's for doing that, because by doing so, he separated the word from its more particular meaning, which I hope to demonstrate here. If a language has five words that can mean stranger, it is only logical that it must be some particular reason why each one can mean stranger. There must be some distinction in meaning between each of them, because white people aren't that dumb to have a bunch of words that mean the same thing. Once we understand a particular meaning, we can better assess what is meant by scripture when the word appears in given contexts. In the case of this word, in my opinion, that is quite important. In Strong's Concordance, this word, zur, is considered to be a primitive root, something with which I only partially agree. Then I would also consider Strong's primary definition to be inappropriate, where it is defined as a verb, and he has to turn aside, and then in parentheses, especially for lodging. There is no indication in any use of the term in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, and I went through every one of them in order to prepare this, which supports that definition. Not one use supports that definition, so far as I could find, except that Jesenius also defined it in that manner, where he turned to a similar Arabic word to define zur, page 242 of Jesenius's lexicon. Jesenius, defining the verb as to turn aside or to depart, and citing an Arabic use of a similar word, offers three verses of scripture to support his definition. Chapter 19, verse 13, Psalm 58, verse 4. And these we shall discuss below, shortly. However, first, and as a digression, I must state my own opinion and say that turning to Arabic is not a good method of defining Hebrew words. Since what we know as Arabic had not even been formed as a distinct language until sometime around the period when the Mohammedans had written their book. I won't even name that rag. So it is as many as 3,000 years younger than Hebrew. And it is a bastard offshoot of late Aramaic. By itself, it is certainly no use as an authority regarding Hebrew, since it was formed in a different and later age and under different cultural conditions by a bastard people. While there are some very obscure terms in scripture to which Arabic may lend some insight, I would rather not consult Arabic at all unless there is no other choice. And that might lend some insight, but it would not provide an authoritative definition. It would be much better to consult Aramaic, and especially Akkadian, since, as I demonstrated in my Genesis presentations, both Hebrew and Aramaic are early dialects of Akkadian. But if a term has a clearly definable range of usage in biblical Hebrew, as this term certainly does, there is no reason at all to turn to Arabic in order to broaden a definition, as Jesenius did here, and as he had done quite often elsewhere. Because there is no assurance that the term did not evolve new usages later in time, which did not belong to earlier ages. Look at Mexico and Spanish. Anybody that wanted to really learn Spanish would go to Spain and they would learn Castilian. If you go to Mexico and you're going to try to learn Spanish in Mexico, you may as well go to New Orleans to learn English from saltwater Geechee niggers. So, turning to Arabic in order to broaden Hebrew word meanings is sort of like imagining that every time the word gay appears in Shakespeare, that he had written in reference to sodomites. But neither would Shakespeare be able to understand much of what passes for American English today. And there are only 400 years between us, and not 2,000, as there are between Moses and the bastard Muhammad. Strong's then offers a secondary definition. And while the definition is appropriate, in my opinion, he failed in that it should have been a completely different entry under a different spelling. But perhaps he also followed Jesenius in this, as we shall discuss later. Strong's secondary definition of this word, zur, is hence to be a foreigner, strange, profane. Specifically, and he has active participle in parentheses, which is, I don't see evidence of, specifically to commit adultery. And while we understand that intercourse with foreigners, sexual intercourse with followers, foreigners, or even intercourse in merchandise with foreigners, is the same as committing adultery, that should probably have been left to context and should not really be a part of the definition because the word is used in other contexts. Where, in my opinion, Strong's had failed is to lump together these two definitions under the entry for this word zur. Because on every occasion where the word is used to describe something strange, such as strange fire or a strange god, or where it describes a stranger, a person who's strange, the spelling is only Z-R, or Zer, Zion Resh, two letters, rather than Zion Vav Resh, or Zor, which is three letters. Strong's has no other entries for this particular word, although there is an important entry for a word of the same spelling, which we shall also discuss. However, Jesenius does have a separate entry for Zr, or Zer, which he defined as a stranger, an enemy. And then he said, see in his own lexicon, not in Strong's, of course, see the root Zor, number two. So entry two of his definition for that word Zor, Z. VR or ZWR, Zion Vav Resh, in his second entry for it. There, Jesenius made the claim that Zur is the root of Zer. But I do not agree with that. Typically in grammar, shorter words are not derived from longer words, except perhaps in cases of elision or the slang use of some terms. However, even though shortened forms are never labeled as grammatical roots, but rather longer words are derived from shorter ones, which usually also have more basic definitions, like dam is blood, and adam is a ruddy man, and adama is ruddy or reddish-colored earth or ground. That's words being built by adding ideas to them is how we build longer words. We have spect from the Latin word spectare, which is to see. We have respect in English, and then we have disrespect. And which one is the root word? Disrespect? No, the root word is spectare, which gives us the English respect, or also inspect. Okay. That's just another digression. But the short word is always the grammatical root, not the longer words. The longer words are usually the short word with an idea added. And that's how we develop language. Furthermore, Strong's defines zur, the three-letter word, only as a verb, where Jansenius defined zer, the two-letter word, zion r, as a noun. Although in this entry on page 252 of his lexicon, he gave no example of its use. None. He only refers you to the longer word. So going back to his definition of zur at entry 2, where he referred us from zer, to which he had referred his readers, Jansenius had defined the term as meaning to turn aside, to depart, as we have stated, and then as to turn from the way, to lodge at one's house, where he cites an Arabic term. Now, that's how he initially defined it. That's his first definition. I'm sorry, I should have specified that in my notes. Both of these definitions we must reject. In the first, he cites those three scriptures in which his interpretation is not necessarily valid. And in the second, he only cites Arabic, and the term is never used in that manner in scripture. So he provides no supporting citation except for some Arabic term. Strong's definition must be considered inaccurate for that same reason, as he has no better reason or authority than Jansenius and seems to have followed him in his references to Arabic. Then Jansenius offers another definition at 2, his second definition, right? At 2, to which he had referred his readers. Participle. A stranger, strange, especially of another nation, an alien by birth. And he cites an entire list of biblical verses where the King James Version usually translated this word as stranger. Sometimes it's translated in other odd ways, and I'll mention them a little later on. But to look at the three passages which Jansenius used to support his primary definition that this can mean to turn aside and lodge somewhere for the night, right? That is also the definition which appears in Strong's Concordance and the three passages, Job 19:13 and Psalm 78:30 and Psalm 58:3, I will read now. From Job chapter 19, he has put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. So, does this support the concept of lodging somewhere for the night, turning aside on a road and lodging somewhere for the night? Of course it doesn't. It just means estranged. It's a verb. Zur is used as a verb, and it's only spelled Z-R. It's never spelled Zion, Vav, Resh in scripture, Z-W-R, never. It's only Z-R wherever it appears in scripture, with the exception of compound words, and I will get to them. Okay. That doesn't support Yesenius's definition. Psalm 78:30. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. When you hear the law and it resonates in your heart, a man should become estranged from his sin. He should put away his sin. He should put his sin away from him. So that's why it's estranged here. And that does not support Jesenius' definition, which he cited this verse to support that definition of turning aside. Okay. To lodge at one's house. Yeah, right. Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. And once again, we see the word estranged. The wicked are estranged from the womb. In that sense, I'm sure that David meant that the wicked are estranged from God from the womb. So, none of these verses necessarily support the definition of Zor as to turn aside, so that it could be extended to mean to turn into one's house and be a guest or something. None of these verses support that, even if sin may often be described as a turning aside or as a wandering or with some other similar metaphor. The metaphor cannot provide a literal meaning for this verb. In all three of these cases, however, the King James translation of the word as estranged is appropriate. To be estranged is to be alienated, to be pushed away, literally or figuratively, and not merely to turn aside like you're a visitor in a road. So we will give a case for our own definition of this term later on. But first, it must be stated that in those three examples provided by Jesenius, and in every other place we could find where the word stranger or something similar appears and is listed by Strong's as being from the word Zur, Zion, Vav, Resh, 21:14, the spelling is only Zer, Zion, Resh, and never Zur. And that's significant, and before this is over, I will explain why. So it is Zer, which is translated as stranger or as strange, usually referring to fire or to an idol god, but more frequently also to people in each of the 70 following verses. And I'm not going to do that to you, to read all these verses. There were like three verses in Exodus, a handful in Leviticus, a handful in Numbers, a couple in Deuteronomy. There's one in 1 Kings, one in 2 Kings, three in Job, where in one instance of Job, it's translated as another, which might be fine in that context, but I wouldn't translate it that way because it's a stranger. It's another who is not really known to you, or another who's from a different place in this circumstance. It appears in several Psalms, in many Proverbs, very often the strange woman who's a harlot, who the writer of Proverbs was warned by his father to stay away from. It's in Isaiah in at least half a dozen places, in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, in at least half a dozen places. And it's in two occasions, it's translated one very strangely and one it's used of waters, and I'm going to explain that shortly, but it's used of waters which flow across a border into your land. And that's important because that's how I'm going to define the term. So, and I'm not innovating because Jesenius already defined the term for me, but I'm going to explain why it means that. So, and Jesenius didn't. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 2, the verb and the form where it's used as a noun is translated as fanners and fan, which is really kind of weird because it should have been translated as strangers and scattered. That's how it should be. but I'm not going to read the verse. It's in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 2. So it's in Lamentations. It's in Ezekiel half a dozen times, Hosea four times, and it's once each in Joel and Obadiah. So this word is very widely used from Exodus through Obadiah. And every time, on every occasion, when I looked at the Hebrew text, and I have two copies of it, I checked both. I have a copy of the Hebrew text without vowel points that I found online a while ago, and I've used it for a long time. And usually when I want to cut and paste Hebrew words and search for Hebrew words without vowel points, because that's difficult to do in Bible Works very often in the software I use. And then I have the copy in Bible Works, and it's just ZR every time. It's never ZWR or Zion Vav Resh in the Hebrew character. Never where it appears in all of these contexts. And then as a verb, Zer is translated as estranged or to become a stranger or strange or something similar to these things in two additional verses of Job, two additional verses of Psalms, actually the two that I just cited from Jesenius's evidence supporting his definition, and of course they don't support his definition. And then in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 4, it appears, but it's translated as gone away, which might be fine in that context, right? It's not necessarily wrong, but it's really estranged. But talking in certain contexts, I could see that. I don't remember the verse off the top of my head. I only remember how they translated it. So, and it's in Ezekiel chapter 14, 5. And in every one of these verses also, the word is never spelled Zion Vav Resh, but always as Zion Resh. So why did Strong and Jesenius, and as we will see later, also Brown Driver Briggs, list it under a form in which it is not found by itself in the usage in the text? Not once is it found by itself. Not one time. Every occurrence of that letter combination that I found in the Hebrew text, because I searched for it, and I found a lot of them, but they're all in longer words that were created from this word. Because when you add characters to this word, it takes on different meanings. And I'll explain them a bit later. First, there is another word which is spelled the exact same way, ZR. And Strong's lists it at 2213. And it describes something which makes a border. So Zion Resh, or Zer, is defined by Strong's as a chaplet, as spread around the top, specifically a border molding. Now, that definition is a little weak. Jesenius' definition is a lot better. But a molding creates a border around an object or an area. And a chaplet is defined as a garland or wreath around a person's head or around a column or some other structure in architecture. So in the King James Version, this word, zer, which basically means border, is translated as crown in 10 passages, all in the book of Exodus, from chapters 25 through 37. They're listed here. I don't want to bother reading them. In many other passages, even in the same chapters of the Exodus, the derivative word, a derivative word, Nezer, spelled N-Z-R, or Nun Zion Resh, appears as crown. It's in Exodus chapter 29, verse 6, chapter 39, verse 30. And from that word, Nezer, was the word for Nazarite derived. In Numbers 6:13. Both of these words appear, Nezer and the word for Nazarite. Nazari or something like that. I forget. So I didn't spell it out in Hebrew here. In that passage where both words appear, Nezer is translated as separation. Another word derived from Nezer is spelled the same way, Nazar, is to separate. In reference to the Nazarite in Numbers chapter 6, verse 2. So these words help to establish the meaning of the root word zer as something which creates a border. When a Nazarite is consecrated, the consecration is the mark of his separation, and that creates a figurative border around that individual, or puts a figurative crown upon his head, marking his distinct condition. So Jesenius's definition of Zer is more at 22:13, is more definite in this sense than Strong's, where he wrote border, edge, wreath work, or crown. And that is also just after his entry for Zer, which he defined as a stranger and enemy, but referred his reader back to the verb spelled as Zuwer, Zion Vavresh, Z-W-R, which Strong's lists at number 2114. And let me say that, okay, in Strong's there's only one Zer at 2213. In Jesenius, there's two entries for Zer, and one of them is the same as Strong's entry, 2213, and Jesenius has a better definition, actually including the word border and the word edge, where Strong's avoided doing that. He should have done it, but he avoided it. But that second entry that we find in Jesenius, just before the one that's the same as Strong's 2213, you know, in Jesenius, there's no Strong's numbers. But the publishers, and the Brown Driver Briggs is the same way. There's no Strong's numbers. But the publishers put the Strong's numbers where they belong in the margins to help people that really only know Strong's, that can't really read the Hebrew letters for themselves, to find an entry. So it helps. It even helps me. It helps me stay lazy because I really can read the Hebrew letters, but that keeps me lazy because I really only look at the Strong's numbers. But I can read the entries between the ones with Strong numbers to find what I need and to find other things. So I shouldn't be lazy. I really shouldn't. But the Strong's numbers are just convenient. That being said, there's many words between the entries because Jesenius and Brown Driver Briggs are, or at least strive to be, complete Hebrew lexicons. Strong's only tries to catalog the English words used in the Bible into his listing of Hebrew words so that he could provide very basic definitions for readers and they could see with the main part of the concordance by examining the Strong's numbers which word is used where. And that's a very handy tool. There's a lot of good in Strong's concordance. But the lexicon has a lot to be desired because it is so concise. Evidently, Jesenius and Brown Driver Briggs, they're not concise, but I guess they all learned their Hebrew from Jews, so they also have a lot to be desired. And I'm going to continue in that, and I hope that that people are able to follow this. But the writing will be on my website when it's all said and done. It'll be posted with the podcast. That's all I can promise. So, Jesenius' definition of Zer, the one that matches Strong's 2213, is better. It's more definite in this sense than Strong's, where he wrote border, edge, wreath work, or crown. And that is immediately after his entry for Zer, which Strong's doesn't have, which he defined as a stranger or an enemy, But for more information, he referred his reader back to the verb spelled as zur, Strong's 2114, which is often translated stranger. So, now we would assert that nearly all of these examples which Yesenius gave in the entry for zur to support his definitions of stranger or alien actually belong here, where Yesenius has that noun, zer, and defined it as a stranger or an enemy. This is the word. Strong's used that zur entry and put all of the occurrences of zer under it, and they don't belong here. They deserve their own entry, but there is none. Except in Yesenius, where there's no Strong's number. There is none in Strong's. Then we would assert that a zer is a stranger or an enemy, because the word is spelled in the same way as a word which means border, and also represents a crowning or a distinction, because such a stranger is one who violated that distinction, who had come in from outside, transgressing one's borders. That's what a zer is. It's a border jumper. In Jeremiah chapter 18, in verse 14, the word zer is even used to describe flowing waters, where it is translated in the King James Version as waters, quote unquote, from another place. In other words, water that flows into your place from another place. And where the New American Standard Bible has that phrase from just one word, zer, it has from a foreign land. So that is also the meaning of the same word when it is used of people. Therefore, if I could create a lexicon, the Hebrew word zurs, found at Strong's 2114, would not be considered a primitive root, but as a verb derived from zer, which means border, which in turn would have to have its own entry. But perhaps zur should not even have an entry, because, as I shall discuss below, I have only found it with that spelling in derivative words which have related meanings, and never once by itself. For that reason alone, it seems that the entry is dishonest, because the variant spelling, think about this when you're going through a lexicon or a dictionary looking for a word and what it means. The variant spelling separates it from a clearly related noun meaning border, which is the actual root word. Think about this, and I just did this a lot when I was studying Greek and when I was translating the New Testament. If there's a list of words, and you see a noun, and you see a verb, and you'll see an adjective, and then you might see other related words, right? Adverbs, maybe, or words that have like a sort of different spelling for a particular use that are only describe something used in a particular way, but it's derivative from this other group of words where you have a noun, a verb, an adjective, an adverb, whatever. So you expect them to have kind of similar meanings, the same meanings. If koinos means common, then koinonios is to share something in, or koinoneo, I should say, the verb is to share something in common. So if I told you that koinos meant common, but the verb form of the same word, koineo, meant to go beat your head against the wall, I'd just be gaslighting you. You'd say, no, why doesn't it just mean common? Why doesn't it just mean common? Because if the noun means common, and then the verb should have a related meaning. The verb that's spelled almost precisely the same way should definitely have a related meaning. So, and the adjective also should describe something that's common, something that's shared amongst everybody. So, we should expect that. And when the lexicons are created in a particular alphabetic order, it facilitates you easily seeing that. You can easily see that this noun and this verb have the same meaning, and that helps you learn the language quicker, and it also helps you verify translations. When I saw anything weird in the King James Version or in the Greek, the first thing I did, or in the lexicons, which happened to me quite often, I would look at all the related words to see if they mean that same thing before I made any decision as to whether to accept the entry that I was reading, that I was curious about, or that I needed to know. So those related words are very important, but using this VAV to place this word in a lexicon separates it 100 entries from the identical noun, which means border. So that to me is dishonest. It's clearly dishonest to me. So furthermore, the verb zur, Zion VAV resh, would also be spelled, if I could write a lexicon, would also be spelled only as Zer, Zion Resh, and it would be defined only as to be an alien, or as a verb, to be estranged or alienated in the sense of being pushed away or outside of one's borders, referring back to a separate entry for Zer next to the word which means border, according to Jesenius, who even has such in an entry defined in that manner just before the word corresponding to Strong's 2213, who properly defines it as a stranger and enemy. So I'm not making anything up. It's already in the lexicons, but they define this verb from Arabic, which is crazy. And then they spell it wrong so that they don't have to put it right next to the word that means border, which is crazier. Of course, as I said, Justinius doesn't have strong numbers, neither does Brown Driver and Briggs. Most publications of those editions have printed the corresponding strong numbers in the margins for your convenience, for the reader's convenience. But the words are not always in the same order, and the lexicons have many entries for words which are not found in Strong's, even if on occasion they should be. In support of these statements, going back to the word zur at Strong's 2114, that spelling does not seem to be correct, as I have suggested. So I searched through every occurrence of the letter combination Zion Vav Resh in a raw copy of the Hebrew Old Testament. No vowel points. The vowel points really screw up word searches. And they're bullshit anyway. They were never used until the rabbis wrote the damn Talmud. So the raw copy I have has no vowel points or other extraneous characters. And most of the words I found were only derivative forms or belong to a similarly spelled word with a different meaning. And I really didn't have the time to look into this much, but there is a word with the same meaning spelled Zion Vav Resh, ZWR, or Zur, at Strong's 2115, where he defined a verb as meaning to press together or to tighten, which was translated as crush in the King James Version in Job 39:15, in the phrase that the foot may crush them, speaking of eggs in the wild. And while this use is peculiar, it is the only example, and we will have to set it aside for our purposes here. With the addition of a hey at the end, which is like our H, the resulting word, zureh, is crushed in Isaiah 59:5. So this is a digression, and we have otherwise ignored occurrences of this word elsewhere in this discussion. It's really kind of peripheral. I would like to know why that word means crushed and what its root is, but that would be a separate study. Take me another 12 hours, maybe. Nah, I'm just kidding. It might only take 30 minutes, but I didn't take the time to do it. So going back to Zur, where the letters are used as a component of larger words, where an aleph is added at the beginning of Zur, the resulting word, azar, is to gird something, or describes a girdle. Strong's 232 and 247. Where an ayin is added at the beginning, and that's a different sort of A from the aleph, the word azar is to help, Strong's 5826. Or it is also used as a given name, where it is Azur, A-Z-U-R, in the King James Version. I think he's mentioned twice. They might be two different men named Azur. A very similar word, ayin, ayin, then Zion, A-Z, Vavresh, W-R, is transliterated by Strong as Ezer, and it's 58:28 in the concordance, and that's help in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, where Eve was a helpmeet for Adam. Word is prefixed with a mem, the letter M. It is mazur, and that's Strong's numbers 4204 and 4205, and it means to bind. But think about these words, a girdle, or to gird something, or to bind something, or even to help someone. All of these words retain the concept of circling or encircling something, like a border also does. So, although Strong and Jesenius list all of the occurrences of this word Zur, where Azur, Zion Vavresh, wherever it was used in the Hebrew texts, it is not spelled as Zur, but only as Zer, Z-R, Zion Resh. So it begins to appear to both Strong and Jesenius by having even listed this word under Zur rather than the spelling Zer. It seems to me that they were being deceitful and dishonest, whether it was purposeful or not. Then going back to Jesenius' entry for Zur, 21:14, in a third definition, he claimed that where Solomon in Proverbs had used it as an adjective to describe strange women, that it only refers to women of another family. And along with other definitions, which watered down and obscured the meaning of the word, it is manifest that Jesenius also had an agenda in redirecting the word from its primary meaning of a border. Anyone who is properly in Israel is a member of the same wide family and cannot be described with the word Zur, which actually should have been listed as Zer. Only border intruders may be described by the word. Of just like that water in Jeremiah comes from another place or a foreign land into your land, and it's described with this word, the same has to hold true of people. Of all the different words for stranger in the Old Testament, a Zur, which is properly a Zer, is a border jumper, someone of any race who comes across one's border, period. There are other words which may mean border in Hebrew. The common term for border, as in the borders of land, is gebul, or sometimes gebel. Certain other terms, which are sometimes translated as border, literally mean end, flank, side, or even hand, such as that 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3, where a word literally meaning hand, which is yod, was used to describe a border in relation to a particular territory. However, while gabul is literally a cord or rope, which may be used to create a border, literally or figuratively, the word zer, which Dersenius defines as a border, edge, wreath work, or crown, seems to be an even more distinguished way of describing a border, stressing the significance of the border in a more illustrious manner. The word first appears in Scripture, where it is used to describe a stranger, in Exodus chapter 29, verse 33. After Yahweh defined the borders for Israel in the giving of the law. Before Israel had even possessed any land with physical borders. So its use certainly is significant. Now, there is one more word to discuss which helps to establish our insistence that the word zer, when it refers to a stranger, must describe a border jumper. That is the word found at Strong's 22:14, which is zerah, it's Zion Resh Aleph, Z-R-A. There's also a word seed, spelled the same way, or nearly the same way, but I think that's Zion Resh Ayin, Z-R-A. So that's a different word. This is Zion Resh Aleph, and it's Zerah, and Strong's defines it as disgust, in the sense of estrangement, stating that it is a derivative from Zur, Zion Vav Resh, which he lists at 21:14. Of course, we have already explained that Zion Vav Resh or Zur should really be listed as Zer, Zion Resh, since it really is the same word found at 22:13, which Dersenius defined primarily as border. This word Zerah is defined by Dersenius as loathing. In my opinion, the existence of this word and its use in Scripture helps serve to prove that the attempts to define the word Zur as a stranger in the sense of a mere house guest, as Strong's and Dersenius had used some Arabic word to do that, certainly are nothing but folly and lies. A Zur, stranger, is a border jumper. And the use of this word describes that as something to be loathed. Clifton used to call the border jumpers sewer people, and he was pretty damn close, since in ancient Israel, they are Zur people. So, concerning the ancient Israelites, a Zur is one who crossed the borders. And that could be someone of the same race, since Egypt, Aram, Cush, and many other races related to Israel dwelt on their borders. Or it could refer to one of the other races, such as the Canaanites, Kenites, or Nephilim, which were on the borders, and who were hated for other reasons, which are expressed in the law. In the 69th Psalm, which is attributed to David, we read, I am become a stranger unto my brethren, that word is Zur, stranger, and an alien unto my mother's children, that word is Nakri, alien. David was not implying that he became like someone of another race, but only that he became estranged from his own brothers. So in that passage, the word for stranger is Zer, after Strong's 21:14. And the word for alien is Nakri, after Strong's 52:37. That word we shall further elaborate on at another time. I think I've already done that somewhere else, but I'll get it into one of these short presentations. As it really only describes someone who is not familiar The prayer was made when David's son Absalom had organized a coup against him and pushed David beyond the borders, out of his kingdom, whereby he was also made unrecognizable to his own brethren who knew him as king. Now, even with that, our exposition of this word cannot be complete until we at least briefly discuss its definition in another popular lexicon, which is the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew and English Lexicon. Here we refer to the edition published by Hendrickson Publishers in 2021, which we shall refer to as the BDB. And this is only a couple of paragraphs now. The BDB, in its entry for the word Zer on page 279, which is the word which Strong's listed at 2213, refers the reader to their entry for the word Zur, which they have on page 266. Likewise, in that same place, in their entry for the word Zerah, found at Strong's 2214, the BDB refers the reader to a different portion of their entry for Zur. So all of these lexicons have Zur, Z-W-R, and that word never appears in Scripture. Only Zer, Z-R, appears in Scripture over and over again. Then, in their entry for Zur, which is found on page 266 of their lexicon, the BDB begins their definition with the words, "Be a stranger," citing an Arabic word. And then they continue their definition by stating, "Incline toward, repair to, visit, honor as a visitor or guest, decline or turn aside," where they offer another Arabic word and continue with visitor, citing a supposedly Aramaic equivalent to yet another Hebrew word, sur, samak, vav, resh, or a soft CWR or SWR, which is found at Strong's 5493, and which is defined there as to turn off, literally or figuratively. But for that, BDB offers as a citation only a single reference to an obscure German Hebraist named Koenig. This we cannot accept, since it is absolutely contrary to the way in which the word is used throughout Scripture. There's not one single passage where the word Zer appears that supports this definition. Not one. Furthermore, there is another Hebrew word frequently translated as stranger, which does bear this meaning, and that is Ger. G-R. That's Gimel Resh, the G-N-E-R. And a ger is a sojourner, Strong's number 1616. It's without doubt a sojourner. Its companion word is a verb, which means to sojourn. Aside from that, which in our opinion lacks reflects a tremendous lapse in critical thinking and sound scholarship, BDB repeats some examples from the common translation of Zer as strange or stranger, and even provides the same definition as Jusenius had for Zerah as loathsome. But the initial portion of their definition of Zur is so clouded with egalitarian thought and a view of Arabic as some sort of authority on the much older and ostensibly more upright Hebrew language, that it pollutes a proper biblical view of why the word should mean stranger in the first place. All three of those lexicons, Strong, Jusenius, and Brown Driver Briggs, are polluted in this manner. From the Hebrew language and from Scripture itself, it is readily evident that a Zur stranger is someone from beyond the borders, and that a violation of the border must have been seen as being loathsome to the early Hebrews who used the term in that manner. And I don't believe I spoke on this word for over an hour, but I had to get that off my chest. I had to make that exposition. The lexicons in these respects, in my opinion, are corrupted. And you don't turn to Arabic to define Hebrew when the Bible does a damned good job of defining the word itself when it's used in 78, 79 different places.